Good afternoon, farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue has formally outlined more details from President Trump's executive order signed last week. In two letters to U.S. governors and meat processing plant leaders, Perdue said meat and poultry processors will use guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and OSHA to resume operations. The USDA also asked closed meat and poultry processing plants that don't have a timetable for reopening to submit a written protocol to the agency. Those plants are to resume operations as soon as they are able after implementing safety protocols. Perdue said further action under the executive order is under consideration and will be taken if necessary.
Lakefront futures market analyst Darren Fessler is closely watching how the meat packing companies handle reopening. And because of current margins, Fessler says there's not a lot of incentive for the packer to run at full capacity.
Follow the box beef numbers closely. I mean, I think that there's still going to be quite a bit of increase in these meat prices at the retail level. And, you know, you take a look at numerous grocery stores across the country, they are limiting meat purchases right now. And I don't think that trend is going to stop until we start getting these plants more back online. Again, I don't think that the packers all that interested in really pushing it their capacity right now.
And Fessler expects the packers to drag their feet at returning to full capacity.
The demand is still there, but you're going to shove more meat on this market. Theoretically, you're going to lower some of these beef prices, and I don't think that that's necessarily what they're wanting to do right now. I think they're obviously worried about the employee safety, but I think they're really enjoying these margins, figuring out, hey, we can make more margins on less employees and less capacity. I think that is their main interest right now.
A decline in U.S. meat production is expected to reduce grocery store supplies this month and in June. According to a new CoBank report, meat supplies for retail grocery stores could decline 30% by Memorial Day, leading to pork and beef price increases as high as 20% compared to 1 year ago. Nearly two dozen U.S. plants that process beef and pork products closed in April due to COVID-19. President Trump's executive order to reopen closed meat plants could help with the bottleneck, but in the short term, getting workers to fill positions may be a challenge. There's also a shrinking U.S. livestock herd. CoBank says beef and pork production are down 35% compared to 1 year ago. This could challenge supplies later this year.
The livestock industry has undergone several impacts because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Those ramifications stem much further beyond price impacts. Marshall, Minnesota hog producer Mike Borboom says a priority for his farm is both human and animal health.
We have 45 employees, 40 contract growers. Their health is a priority, and we've taken actions to increase social distancing, mitigate the risks of the virus spreading, follow the CDC recommendations, and then, but as part of critical infrastructure, our operations day to day have generally continued as normal. Pigs need to be fed, feed needs to be made, livestock needs to be cared for.
On the other front, Borboom adds the closing of packing plants in the last few weeks has crippled the working ability of the food supply chain. The pig production cycle operates continually.
Well, over the course of the past few weeks, we've lost our ability to market, and we've started to create a backlog. And the sows continue to farrow, pigs continue to be weaned. We have about 9,000 market hogs that are backlogged. We've taken some actions on our sow farms to reduce output to try and create space in the supply chain. In addition, prices have plummeted. An example I use is the buying stations are being locked at night so that nobody drops pigs off. I think that speaks to the value of what a pig is. Fortunately, I was able to sell some last week for $41 a pig. We're facing about a $100 loss on those pigs sold.
The cattle industry is also feeling the effects of the coronavirus outbreak. Harrington, Kansas beef producer Shane Tiffany says the biggest impact has been the disconnect between the Chicago Mercantile and the market price discovery tool.
So in order to even attempt to, you know, control and take some risk management has been really, really difficult in the midst of the plant disruptions and everything else. And so the cattle that we are able to get through the pipeline right now, you know, are losing $250 a head. and that's only going to increase. We hope that last week's plant disruptions were maybe the low water mark. We got down to somewhere in that 55% of our processing capacity was operable. There's some signs that maybe we're up to 60% this week.
Tiffany, along with Boraboom, were part of a livestock panel discussion hosted by the Farm Credit Council this morning.
The North Dakota Stockmen's Association and Foundation are teaming up with the Great Plains Food Bank to provide North Dakota families in need with beef during the coronavirus pandemic. The Beef Relief Program is donating $20,000 to the food bank by purchasing beef from North Dakota ranchers. More than 200 food pantries, shelters, soup kitchens, and charitable feed programs are supplied by the Great Plains Food Bank.
Minnesota Turkey Growers Association Executive Director Sarah Anderson says the state's turkey industry is assessing the economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic, but there are a lot of moving parts.
We've done some measures of, you know, if we had to have a worst case scenario, what the cost would be behind that, both from, you know, economic loss to just getting things taken care of from the perspective of depopulation. And so there's just a lot of different moving parts. We're hoping that we don't have to go down that route, but it's just a matter of you need to be prepared.
The association is working with federal lawmakers to get help from the USDA. The agency will purchase $50 million in turkey products through Section 32 funds. Anderson says this is a great start, but the turkey industry is hopeful for more relief resources, including indemnity payments for turkey producers. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Grain markets continue to trade sideways to lower ahead of next week's supply and demand report. NAU Country Vice President of Farm Services Rich Morrison is not expecting friendly carryout numbers.
Assuming USDA is going to be using its planting intentions acreage numbers, which was 97 million acres of corn, it's just difficult to see how we can even even the most positive demand numbers can still be negative, I would think, when you start looking at the bottom line. So I'm a little bit leery of this report next week.
Morrison says the corn carryout number in that report could easily top 4 billion bushels.
And it would be real easy to come up with those numbers if we reduce ethanol demand, 500 million to a billion bushels. Certainly, with any kind of a decent crop, and even if we plant 95, 96 million acres, we're still looking at the potential of a 4 billion bushel carryover, which would just be unheard of.
The weekly energy report for the week ending May 1st by the Energy Information Administration shows ethanol production creeping up slightly from the previous week's record low. The Energy Information Administration says ethanol production was up 61,000 barrels per day to 598,000 barrels per day. Ethanol stocks were down 70,000 barrels to 25.6 million barrels.
It may be at least 1 week until corn planting can begin in the wet fields in northeast North Dakota. Pioneer Field agronomist Christy Sundin would not change maturities at this point.
So in my area, especially northeast North Dakota, northwest Minnesota, stick with your normal maturity. So what would you consider long maturity in your area or normal maturity? I would definitely go all the way until May 18th. Once we get past May 18th, I would possibly early up your maturity if you can. Go to a mid to early until at least the 26th of May.
Conditions have been complicated by the amount of corn residue in fields.
Yeah, I mean, the residue in the field isn't going to help matters for us getting in and get anything accomplished right now. It's going to slow down any drying, but really what we need is lack of rain. We don't need any rain now, probably for at least the rest of the month, and we need some heat. We need some 65-plus temperatures up into the 70s. Heck, I'd even take 80 at this point.
With the downtime from the wet weather, there is an opportunity to give their equipment a second look. Senex Senior Marketing Specialist Mimi Falkman says there are differences in the quality of grease.
All greases are not made the same. Some are made with lower quality ingredients, whether that be lower quality base oils, lower quality thickeners, and they just don't hold up the same way a high quality grease does.
Falkman says there are benefits to move from a conventional grease to a synthetic product.
Farmers can see a huge benefit if they're working in extreme temperatures, because the synthetic will actually be more stable in those temperature fluctuations. So they'll be able to have a grease that stays longer and that actually flows better too if you're working in extreme cold temperatures.
A synthetic lubricant can also protect the equipment for a longer period of time.
It's that time of year where the 2020 forage crop is either being planted or coming to life after the winter season. Winfield United alfalfa and forage specialist Jeff Jackson says the possibility of freezing temps in the upper Midwest does throw a wrench into the mix.
So for the people that have alfalfa that's broke dormancy, the canopy of that alfalfa that started to grow is going to hold some heat. So generally when we see these things happen, it might take off the top. So as long as we don't freeze all the way down to the bottom of the canopy, some of those guys that have alfalfa that might be 6 or 8 inches tall already, they'll be probably fine, other than the fact that maybe a tall stem once in a while might get taken off. People that have, you know, a shorter stand, it might be a little bit more significant and take more stems down, but the plants will generally just regrow or continue to grow.
Farmers also should not forget about spring fertilization of alfalfa coming out of dormancy. Jackson does caution those with spongy soils to make that fertilizer application after the first cutting. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're in tune with the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. CropLife has released its ranking of the 100 largest ag retailers in the country. Nutrien Ag Solutions tops the list, followed by Helena Agri Enterprises. Growmark, Wilbur Ellis, CHS, and Simplot Grower Solutions are among the retailers, with each entity having revenues of more than $1 billion. Aberdeen-based AgTegra Cooperative is ranked 13th. CropLife placed Hefty Seed at 19th. West Central Ag Services, based in Yulin, Minnesota, is 36th. Reynolds, North Dakota-based Valley United Co-op is ranked as the 67th largest ag retailer.
St. Louis-based Bunge Limited is reporting a fiscal year 2020 net first quarter loss of $204 million, compared to a profit of $37 million in the same quarter last year. Bunge's Chief Financial Officer John Neppel says first quarter losses can be attributed to declining commodity values and a spike in processing margins as COVID-19 began to spread globally.
As COVID-19 began to spread globally, concerns about soybean meal availability caused global oilseed processing margins to spike toward the end of the quarter. As a result, we incurred approximately $100 million of mark-to-market losses related to forward oilseed crushing contracts. In addition, as vegetable oil values declined during the quarter, we recorded a mark-to-market loss of $195 million on forward hedges held against deferred fixed-price sales to our downstream edible oil customers.
EPA is providing flexibility for farmers certifying organic acreage or transitioning to organic production for the 2020 crop year. COVID-19 is limiting in-person crop insurance transactions, and the Risk Management Agency is urging farmers to work with their crop insurance agents by phone, mail, or online.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, July Minneapolis wheat down 2 at 5.08 1/4. July Chicago wheat down 3 1/4 at 5.17 1/2. July Kansas City wheat down 6 1/4 at 4.77 3/4. July corn down 3 1/2 at 3.13 1/2. December corn down 3 3/4 at 3.30 1/2. July beans down 6 at 8.33 1/2. November beans down 7 at 8.39 1/2. June live cattle up $3 at $89.47. August feeder cattle up $4.37 at $132.62. May lean hogs up $2. June lean hogs up $1.12 at $65.40. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.